Welcome everyone to the Blessings of Christ on this 19th day of April. It seems like every day that passes is a whole world moving along on a very arduous journey, but moving slow like an iceberg. I know you're probably as impatient as I am to find answers, get results, and get beyond this crisis. It is such a major thing that affects our life. And we hope that in the end, there will be a benevolent purpose for it. We come here to bless everything. Because anything can actually be moved around into a blessing. No matter what it is, it can be moved around. And I was discussing that with one of our prayer members by email, and an interesting subject came up that I thought would be extremely relevant for us to discuss. And I don't know, I can't see if you're on the call, Becky, but I think you frequently are. And let's see. Well, I think she's not here. Oh my goodness. Well, I still want to bring it up because she is. Okay. It's a terribly important subject for us today where there is so much debate about the reality of the coronavirus. How did it get started? Who started it? Why? How far will it go? Is it real? Did it originate by nature? Was it manufactured? And of course, there are a lot of conspiracy theories around it, which I don't subscribe to because I don't want to. I don't think there's any good result in that. It just gives power to fear, and fear doesn't bring answers. It never does. I'd much rather go with love. But at the same time, we do have questions about, well, how are we supposed to view this? Are we supposed to take it really deadly serious, like from a physical level and, like being, a dog caught in the path of an 18-wheeler coming at him? Can we run? Can we just lift ourselves above it mentally and spiritually and vap it away? Wouldn't that be nice? Well, none of these are relevant, actually. And so I want to take us to a place which is far more important than any of these things. It's where Yeshua talked about the reality of the universe, how it was created, and is it an illusion? Is this reality immovable? Well, first of all, one of the scriptures we can quote, which definitely confirms that this universe is movable, is, he said, if you have so much faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to the mountain, come here, and it will. Move there, and it will go there. So obviously, it's movable. We also know that he walked on water. And he demonstrated that not just is the soul immortal, but the human body can be transfigured into an immortal state that can appear and disappear and appear again. Not only did he appear numerous times recorded in the New Testament to the apostles, and they didn't recognize him because they weren't expecting him. He did that, and then he just disappeared like a poof. And at the ascension, of course, he arose into the clouds, then disappeared like a poof. We know from the stories told of ancient people recording a prophet dressed in white robes who appeared out of nowhere and stayed with them for a while and taught them about life and God and truth and healing and a more civilized way of being in the way of love. This person appeared to every, well, I'm not qualified to say every, but an awful lot of the tribes of men around the world, literally circling the globe. And they wrote tales of it. And if you're interested, there's a book, I think it's still being sold at Amazon, called He Walked the Americas. And he was called Wakan. Well, at least by some of them. But the teachings that he taught and the miracles he performed were clearly the teachings and the miracles of Yeshua. And it happened in the first century after his ascension from the Holy Land. So, does he have a body that can move around and appear and reappear? Yeah, he does. I've seen it. So have many others. I'm just one of millions he's appeared to, really. And the Apostle Paul said, we all will have the new body at some point in time. Yeshua said, all these things I do, you shall do and more. But here's the thing. Is that an illusion? No, it's not. It's just a highly evolved reality. Let me tell you why I don't like the word illusion. It's because people have projected into it something kind of mythical and unreal. And let me tell you how the universe was created and how Yeshua explains it, because this will help you a lot in your prayer time about gaining benefits and movement within this crisis. In the beginning, God had an idea. And that idea moved upon the waters. Okay? Well, let's examine this twofold statement. What was that idea? Well, it was an illusion, really. It was an envisionment. Let's put it that way. An envisionment. He saw the universe created before it was. Okay? And what were the waters? Well, the waters were the enormous, infinite, undefined field of energy. So his envisionment of the universe moved upon the field of energy. And that field of energy gradually took form. And it took form at different layers of density. From the air, which is gas, into other forms that could solidify in intensity, which would have been the stars in the heavens, which are nothing. In the beginning, they were nothing but burning gases that eventually built up carbon masses, and those carbon masses went into differentiated forms of substance. So it built up from envisionment through the energy that took different forms until these different forms became the earth. Now, can these different forms be changed and moved around? Every scientist on earth would say yes. And that's not mythology. There is a quantum probability of energy movement that's embedded in everything in this universe. And yes, it can be moved. The atoms in one petal of flowers, if released in the right way, could light up the whole city of New York. Okay? So, yes, there is possibility inside everything. Let me give you another example of that. That is just an everyday example. Me doing life as an artist. My art always starts as an envisionment. I see in my mind, in my spirit, in my heart, what I want to create. And then I apply it to my energy and talent as an artist to see about, well, what will it take to bring this about? Oh, okay, what will it take to bring it about? Well, it's going to take the obvious, a canvas, paint, brushes, but certain particular colors. And it's going to take maybe looking at some trees or some valleys and really getting into my mind some actuality of what they look like and how I want to shape them up on my canvas. Okay, I get started. That's one layer of envisionment, but it's not perfect. I just got to wash on the canvas. I want to shape it up more, give it more form, pull it together, add more color. So I pull it together. Maybe at some point, I don't even like what I've done, so I take it away, put something else there. So does the envisionment control the substance? Yes, it does, because the substance is the envisionment. It is the envisionment. You see, it's not that, and here's what I don't like about illusion. The word illusion is people who really get into this debate. They ask, is it illusion or is it real? As if they're different. One is completely embedded in the other, and they're never separated. Okay, from the beginning, according to the laws of God, there is no separation. What you think, you are. Okay? What you envision will be created and come forth. There is no separation in this universe. So you can't say, oh, well, it's all illusion. Of course not. Or some engineer says, oh, forget that. That's hogwash. It's all engineering. Well, my friend, wake up. There have been more than one bridge collapse because certain things were not appropriately put forth from the correct plan and the correct envisionment. Okay? And my friend was asking, well, where's the middle zone? She's still thinking that this is a polarity. It's not. Not a polarity at all. So there is no middle zone. It's just wherever you can get things to work the best. And can you change things? Of course you can. I have seen people heal themselves from fourth stage cancer by watching comedy movies. What do you think they were doing? They were moving around the quantum field into something very, very positive. Okay? I think about what's going on in the world, and I get on social media, and I listen to the news, and I get into this place, this orientation point, and I say, oh, my God, I'm going to die. I'm not going to be here next year. We're all going to die. The prophecies were something's going to happen and cut down the population of humanity by 50%. This must be it. And then I pinch myself, and I say, oh, come on, you knucklehead. What have you just done to yourself? And I pull back, and I think, oh, holy cow. Okay, let's look at this. What would Yeshua do if he was here? Well, he is here. Okay, what's he doing? He's looking at, how can I turn this lemon into lemonade? Oh, look at that. People are pulling together. They're learning to love more. They're learning to value each other more. We're going to have a transformation party here. And then all of a sudden, I think, you know, I've always wanted to live to be 150. This is going to bring about the science of physical rejuvenation. And I'm going to live to be 150. And we're going to start pulling people back from the brink of the dead. And I'm saying, yes, that's the way it's going to be. And all of a sudden, I'm a different person. My life has changed. And my prospects of income have changed. I look on my web store dashboard, and I just received an order for 200 essential oils. Oh my gosh. That's how you change. That's how you move around reality. Okay. But you have to do, it's got to be an inside job, and you've got to know. Where's the middle point? It's inside you. It's not out there. There is no middle point whatsoever. It's all a gradation. A gradation moving from envisionment as a cause down to the solidity of result and everything in between. Now, who manages that? You do. Guess what God meant when he said, I will create you in my image. He will make you a master over life. That's what he meant in the book of Genesis when he took Adam out and he said, name all the animals. Now you will master them. What do you think he was talking about? Okay. And life. And he said to them about the garden, and here is all your medicine. You will discover it and distill it and use it for your food and your healing. What do you think he was talking about? He wasn't talking about you coming at that tree with some kind of illusion. Hey, let's face it. Have you ever tried to walk up to a wall with illusion and walk through it? You can't. You've got to bump your head on that wall and have a headache for a few hours. Now, there are masters in the Far East, and of course, they're living over here too, but they have mastered the energy fields to where they change the particles around. And yes, they can walk through a wall. They do walk through walls, and they've proven it. Okay? Yeshua walked right into a storm, and he said, be still. Stop this nonsense. Okay? And the storm says, okay. Now, did he do that by concocting some illusion he put at the face of the storm? No, he changed the energy in it, and he aligned that energy with his will. Now, one of the things I would give to all of you as a starting point for really mastering this correctly, not as an engineer who thinks everything's solid, and not somebody sitting out on a limb thinking fairies run the world and everything's an illusion. No. You're going to really master it. Here's how you start. Okay. You be very careful about what you will. And I'm talking about will. I'm talking about will as intention. Don't make intentions that are not good, that you won't stand behind, or that are too much for you to take on right now. But when you intend something, do it. And find a way to do it. Don't back off on your intentions. Learn to be an intender. If it's only, I'm going to bring home a flower today. You don't stop till you find that flower. And maybe it's a wildflower growing somewhere by the road, but you bring home that flower because this is honoring your right to intend. And God gave you that right. Now, you don't intend for other people, don't push your will on other people for the same reason, because they have the right to intend, and you need to respect that. This is the mistake that all governments make, which is why they all eventually collapse. They push their will too forcefully on the people. The whole good idea behind the United States, which had really never existed before in an official nation, maybe in tribes it did, but not in an official formalized nation, was that it was a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. It's not too late to restore that. Right now, it's not operating that way by any means. Not by any means, not even close. But you can start in your own world by recovering your will over the things that God has given you to govern. You can say, no, I'm not going to drink that third cup of coffee because I don't need it. I need to pray. I want to pray. And it's too noisy in the space. So you find a place. Or you put earplugs in your ears. Or you just decide not to care because you're going into the deep inner space where there is no noise. But you follow that will. And you keep your promises to yourself. You make promises you intend to keep. And by golly, you keep them. Okay? This is the way you start. And then you build it up. Because let me tell you, there's nothing like the power of will to multiply itself. If a person has been given that authority. Now, rocks have not been given that authority. So they just sit there until somebody moves them or an earthquake comes or a mudslide covers them up. And they're still sitting there. They have no will. Plants have a certain amount of will, but not much. A tree cannot pick itself up and move. It was planted, and where it is, it is. The one will it has is to respond to light. And as long as it responds to light, it will grow. And it will grow as long as it responds to the light. So I think you get the idea. And it's an idea that will be fully born into our consciousness. If you want to read a little more about it, read up on Jesus on Science or God in Reality. Either one has a lot on this subject, and it's really good stuff. Okay? Even the Beloved has some good stuff on this, where it talks about the ego and surrogate power. Because the ego either depends upon very, very hard, solid reality, which it can move around and own and control and say to someone else, no, you can't have it. Okay? Or it gets into this kind of dreamland idea, which is, oh, nothing matters. It's all illusion. It doesn't matter. I don't care. The reason the ego says that is because the ego has no power. It wouldn't dare to care because the ego can't do anything about anything. The most helpless thing on this earth is ego. That's why it either clings to physical reality, which it can own and control to some degree, or it just says, well, It does, nothing matters. Nothing matters. Nobody can do anything about anything. Of course, because the ego can't do anything about anything. Okay? This is why you need to find that center point in yourself. And all of our blessings are set up to flow energy to that place in you. Pardon me, I had to take a drink. I'd like to take some callers. I think I've said enough. I think it gets to the point. And I'll leave for you to think about. But every blessing addresses this center point that brings envisionment and energy and material existence into a better state of union so that you can manage them more appropriately and more to the degree that you have ability. Okay. Now, I'm going to take some calls from Tony. I see your arm. Hello, hello.
Hey there. Hi, Glenda. Yeah, thanks for your message. That was really good, and I think certainly very helpful and timely with what's going on. Thank you. I want to just mention that there's a new moon this week, and it connects with what you were just talking about, the center point of our being. This new moon is conjunct Uranus, and so this is it's going to start a moon cycle. The whole cycle will connect with this energy about freedom, and also both our individuality, the evolution of our individuality and realization, but also our connections with community. Uranus really encompasses all those different connections.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's great. That's a great. And it's when?
It's exact on Wednesday night. It's actually going to be, it'll be exact right about the time we finish the prayer call on Wednesday evening. So about.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah. 7:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern.
That should be a great prayer call. Everybody, in case you don't know about it or have not been reading the emails, we have a prayer call every evening. It's at 8:30 Central Time, and you can figure your time forward or backward from that. And it's the same conference call number as you come in for the blessing. So we would love to have you, and it's doing some great work. So thanks, Tony. I really appreciate that.
You bet.
I'm going to open the line to Stephen. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Glenda. Hi, can you hear me?
Oh, yes. I hear you great.
Yes. I would just like to add my sister Lisa to the blessing list, and then my good friends Shane and Vanessa, of course, still just continuing blessings for them, overcoming their challenge of cancer, and Vanessa is doing really well and making great progress, so I'm really grateful. And just for my own continued physical healing of my back, just requesting a blessing around that. So thank you so much, and I love you. Thank you for all the amazing work, and thank you all the blessing givers. All right, thanks.
I'm always here for you, and I do my part on holding that center point for all of us. And, of course, Yeshua still travels the globe, and he's anywhere you need him to be. So don't forget. Don't forget to ask. As he said, ask and you shall receive. And I think, really, the most valuable thing you can ask for is to be restored to your own center point. Because there are many, many things in your life you're probably wanting to manage, even though there's some that are more urgent than others. And so I would suggest pray for the urgent ones specifically, and for everything else, ask that you be restored to the center point of your life. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. And thank you, Stephen, and we'll hold your loved ones in our prayer. We have a wireless caller, and you're on.
Okay. Hi, Glenda. Glenda, this is Ann Smith from Seabrook, Texas. Good afternoon.
Oh, hi, Ann.
Hi. I wanted to first, for those of us that recognize the Gregorian calendar, I wanted to say Happy Easter to the Orthodox Christians who are celebrating Easter today. So our
Yes, that's wonderful.
Today on the Greek calendar. And I have a blessing request for my daughter, Christine, and I imagine there's a lot of people that have the same feeling. My daughter lives far away in a new place, and this stay-at-home thing has been really hard on her because she hasn't had a chance to meet new people yet. And so I think the stay-at-home thing causes a severe loneliness for a lot of people. And I feel a lot of people probably have their hearts in the same place, and I'd like to have a blessing for my daughter, Christine, and just celebrate this holy day.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And Happy Easter, Anne, and Happy Easter to everyone who celebrates that calendar. All right.
Thank you, Glenda.
You're welcome. And Lorraine is on. Hi, Lorraine. Good to hear from you.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here. Thanks for that amazing message. I'm going to listen to that again. Anyway, I guess as Tony was talking about the new moon, I was just noticing, or I guess Earth Day is that same day, Wednesday, April 22nd, and this whole pandemic situation is certainly, the Earth is definitely giving us messages about how she can clean herself up when we back off from some stuff we've been doing. But so I just to include the whole Earth Day and new beginnings for supporting the Earth and all of that good stuff.
Okay, you got it. And that's my prayer every day. And of course our prayer session Wednesday will be focused on that subject. So
awesome.
you might want to join us. Okay. Kathy,
yes,
I'm gonna open your line. Hello.
Hi, Glenda. Just a request prayers for my mother and me and our family. She made her transition to be with Yeshua on April 11th, and happy for her having all of her suffering be at an end. And just asking for keep us in your prayers as we adjust to a life with her in a different place now.
Absolutely. And you will form a different connection and still be connected. I can assure you of that. She has not gone from your heart, just from the material part of life.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. And I'm so sorry for your grief.
Thank you.
Ken, hi, you're on.
Glenda?
Ken? Yes, hello.
That is me. This is Ken. And I just absolutely love the work that you do here. The energy and the tone and everything that you put forth is just absolutely brilliant golden light. It truly is. I feel it. It touches me. It reaches inside. And first off, I really apologize for being kind of out of the loop for a while, but I've had to be dealing with a tremendous number of personal things and other things that have been going on. And the reason I'm calling is that I have a rather interesting question. I am part of a prayer call that we do once a week where what we focus in on is looking at some of the more negatively oriented energies in the planet and trying to transform them, trying to move them out of the other people's perception of reality and put it back into illusion and then eventually put it back into pure fictitiousness, which, because none of it really exists. And part of the theme of these calls has always been focusing in on negative energies that people could kind of typically call, you know, satanic or Luciferian or this type of thing. And as I took your angel class, I guess it was last year. It seems like it was kind of yesterday because I still review a tremendous amount of the material. And the thing that came to mind is that this whole idea of Lucifer, he was an angel. I mean, he was a brilliant angel. And he, for whatever reason, got removed from that continuum. And I was listening to a call, another speaker, who said that one of the interesting things about all angel names is they end in EL, and the EL stands for Elohim. So we would have Michael would be the name Micah plus Elohim. And then the question came up is, what the heck is Lucifer's original name? Because when I go onto this call that I'm going to be participating in on Tuesday night, I figured, why don't I just present the idea of, here's this angel who's lost his original name, and by recalling him with Elohim, we can at least help to recorrect so much of the distortion that's taking place. Because it's not real, but so many people and so many things in our world see it as real. And I want to call it, I want to name it for what it is, for the falsehood that it is. And I wondered if you could help me out on that, if you had any perception of that or perspective.
Well, yeah, I do. The first perspective is that a lot of people, when they don't know what they're talking about, make things awfully complicated. And the complications come from the fact they don't know what they're talking about. And I don't mean that to be derogatory, because I'm guilty of the same thing. When I get complicated, I stop myself right there and I say, okay, you knucklehead, what don't you know about this? You know, because that's why we get very simple when we know what we're talking about. And the simplicity is right there in the book of Genesis. The first thing God said is, let there be light. And he gave the creation, the instigation of light to the chief of the angels, which is Lucifer. And that means, let there be light. That's what Lucifer means. Okay? That was his original name. Satan was not his original name. And all the other Beelzebubs and these other rulers of hell were not his original name. Lucifer was his original name. And we do not even have the Elohim in the beginning. They were not there in the beginning. The Elohim, according to other books of the Bible, were assembled on the seventh day to delegate management ability of the universe. They were not part of the creation. And all of the angels were given, at that point, were given a name beginning with L or ending in L, either Mikael, Raphael, Gabriel, and so forth. And so the angels were part of the Elohim to manage the universe, not create it. God created the universe, but in the beginning he said to Lucifer, let there be light. He gave him the job of going out and commanding the energy to become light. And there's a very interesting way that energy becomes light, which has already been demonstrated and proven by science. Coherence produces light. You want to create light? Create coherence. You want to create darkness? Get rid of coherence. Darkness is nothing but chaos. That's it. You create coherence and light springs forth. It just springs forth like a fountain, particleizes as light. This is why light is a stream and a particle, because once it's a stream, it just keeps flowing like forever because of coherence. But you want to stop light? You break the coherence. And it drops dead. But light is constantly springing up again, because every time particles go into coherence, they create light. It's really pretty simple. And we cannot, I want to recommend to everyone that you focus upon the wisdom that is available now. Because even if we look at many of the great masters, we actually don't know all the conditions that surrounded what they said and did. For example, the life of Buddha. So many people think that there's a kind of negating in his philosophy, like sort of like become passive and just surrender and let life take care of itself. Actually, he tried that, and he came back from that place and said, this doesn't work. And what he finally determined was work, that work was the middle ground. What have I just been telling you today? It's the middle ground that works. And sometimes he called it moderation. Sometimes he called it the middle. But it's the middle. And he also identified that middle being in you. So he found the same discovery Yeshua did. He just had different words for it. But here's what happens when people go back and study all these different mystics and philosophies, is they pick up on the difference between words. And they think the difference between words matters. It doesn't. What you need to understand is the words don't, of all the things that don't matter much are words, especially if they're human words, because we're all, always misunderstanding each other. And in the beginning, there was the words. That is not referring to a vocal sound or a digit within a language. Word meant envisionment. It meant the idea. You can look up in all the ancient languages. In the beginning was the word that meant logos in Greek. In that translation, in the Hebrew translations, in the Aramaic translation, it all boils down to the plan, not a word like, oh, go, yes. It was a plan, and then he said, let it be. And he told Lucifer to go break light upon it. And it all happened in increments. But the angels were not put in charge until much, much later on. And people who are coming at this whole problem with a negative concept, probably coming at the whole thing without any power. That would be my take on it. So I would recommend that you come at this from within yourself with love, which is the only power there is, and from within, which is your only place of management. That's why I wanted to bring up this subject of envisionment in the beginning and the result. What you see in all of creation is it starts somewhere and then it has a result, right? Okay. It starts with an idea or a plan or an envisionment. And then that is implemented. The first implementation of God's plan was light. The first implementation. But his plan preceded that. So he had an envisionment. And then he said, let there be light. So that was an order he gave to Lucifer. Lucifer didn't create the light. He didn't create anything. But because he was there at the beginning, he thought it gave him extra and special power that the other angels didn't have. And so he drew a whole coterie of angels under him that was dividing up the kingdom of heaven. And God said, I've had enough of this. I've had enough of this right now. Get out of here. Okay, he put up with it as long as he could. thought he would catch on, but he didn't. So he said, go get out of here. Go learn. You know, let's focus on the ones who are wanting to learn. Let's focus on those who are actually appropriately diving into their management potential and they're being in that place of love from within where they can actually start managing the situations of their life. And as they do, they will be spreading love out to the world. And we can bring the love of God, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, the grace of God's creation, the heart of Christ, bring it all into that center and start working on life from the inside out. And that's where it really matters, and that's where change occurs. Have you ever gone out to do anything? I ask you anything just on the outside and had it work on first take or work even to a point of result without problems?
Generally not. You're always right.
Unless you're a very special human being, I would say not, because things don't work from the outside in. That's why engineers go out there and they build bridges that crumble. Okay? And then the mystics who really, really are fed up with that, they go to the opposite extreme, not really understanding what they're talking about either, and they say, oh, it's all an illusion. That's why I'm telling you to get rid of the word illusion. It is, in a sense, if you'll use the right terminology and the right understanding, because it all did begin with a plan. And everything you do in your life begins with a plan. And that plan and that envisionment is part of everything you achieve and attain. And so, yes, it's part of everything. It's always there. But we have to apply the right understanding to it. And actually, if you apply the right understanding to this, you'll find that every true mystic will agree with you, and every quantum physicist will agree with you. There's no breach of understanding. It's something we can all agree on.
The beauty of what you have said just in this little discourse has been absolutely amazing, because you synthesized at least half a dozen points that I had big question marks on. And it's saying, how does all this stuff fit? And putting a little bit of hierarchy and a little bit of understanding the sequence of events has been huge. And the second thing is that I think it's easy for me to forget that when I just let go of my plan of the day works magnificently. There doesn't have to be reruns. There doesn't have to be do-overs, because it's my intuition that says, do this now, do this now, do this now, do this now, and boom, 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 it gets done. So when we're looking at that reality that doesn't need to be redone, look at the realities and the events that just seem to naturally work and focus in on whatever it was that created that. And do more of it.
Yep. Yep. You got it.
God, this is
That's
so simple.
It.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay. It's good to be talking to you again, Ken. And I'm going to take our last call from Nancy and Gary. Hello, Nancy and Gary.
Hi there, everybody. We love you all. I think what I'm hearing you say, Glenda, because I can just hear Yeshua say that, you know, life is love in action, and it seems that, you know, life exists in the present, and most people are dealing with the past or some guilt about the past or future-oriented fear. So for me now, my prayer and blessing today for us all is for us to really anchor into the present moment where, you know, life and love really exist, because, you know, like you were talking about learning from other teachers from the past, that's fine, but what's coming through now, you know, what do we, you know, what's there for us when we're really here, remembering who we are. So I guess my prayer would be to bless us with, you know, increased faith so that we remember who we are and that we can have more ability to really be present and not be struck by fear with what's going on I don't think it's irresponsible at all for us to be happy and joyful and having peace right now. I think that's what we need to do, because that's, for me, that's expressing
myself. Absolutely. Absolutely. It is. Because it's peace and joy that will keep you in that center place within your being where you are a better manager of life. And it will bring out the best in you, and you will bring out the best in everybody else without having to tell them what to do.
Well, and I think of my creator as always being at ease and knowing the right thing. So if I'm reflecting that, then it's got to have some effect. You know?
It has a big effect. It has a big effect. Okay. And
one more little thing. Just I'll add Jaina. She did have a third miscarriage. Just putting that out there with all my friends here who've been praying for her. So she's doing fine, but just let's just enfold her with God's perfect love.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry. But, you know, Nancy, with this pandemic being here, it may have been a blessing for her to not be in frequent medical offices or delivering a baby in a hospital.
I thought the very same thing. I really did. Absolutely.
You know?
I did. I thought that very same thing. I didn't say that, but I absolutely thought.
And it won't be her last chance to have a child. But, you know, it could have been critical for her to be put into hospitals or medical care centers and find difficulty finding medical assistance for whatever problems she might encounter during the pregnancy. So, you know, the thing is, sometimes we just have to have faith that God's in charge.
Absolutely. Thank you. Absolutely. Love it.
Okay, my dear. I have some news I'm going to share with you, but I'll do it privately. I'll write you.
Okay.
We need to get into our blessing call now, everybody. We're running. Wow. Did we have a long call? But I think it was important because these are critical times, and it's really, really important that we don't contribute to the negativity of them, that we don't try to. It's easy to try to escape, to go into an escapist mode and say, oh, I'll just live on the tree limb. I'm not going to look at this. You can't help but look at it. It's not going to go away by itself. And the way you're going to handle it, for you at least, is from the inside out. That's where God's going to talk to you. That's where the Holy Spirit's going to inform you. That's where you're going to join in love with Christ. And that's where you're going to bring about guidance for your own protection and healing, and the protection and healing of everyone around you. So, here we go. Now, I would ask that blessing givers join me, unless you're in a place where you really just need to be receiving the blessing, and let's stand. Everybody else, be seated, arms and legs uncrossed, so that you can be receiving the greatest and cleanest flow of energy from heaven, earth, and from earth back to heaven. Just let it flow. And it will cross over in your heart, by the way. And that's why we don't want it to be prematurely crossing over at your knees where they're crossed, or your ankles where they're crossed, or your arms or hands where they're crossed. We want it to be able to cross over in your heart. And that's where the heart will take all of this energy and integrate it from heaven to earth. Okay, I'm going to say my prayer to Yeshua. Then the blessing givers and I will begin to convey the energy. And while we do that, you say your prayer. Dear Yeshua, thank you for being with me in this talk today, because you brought back to mind things we have talked about so many times over the years, but I don't think they were ever more relevant than at this moment. I think you prepared me for being here at this moment with these wonderful, simple realities and truths about life and the universe and how we were given authority and management over many things if we do it the right way. We ask specifically that we can open our hearts, all of us, that we can learn how to open our hearts and our lives to those who are alone. Maybe if we just found out 10 people locally, that we could call on the phone and say, hey, kid, are you okay? I care about you. And if there's anything I can do while still taking care of both of us, just let me know. You haven't, oh, that person would just be so touched. And then I do this, you know I do this. And I say, you know, Yeshua told me to call. Or Jesus told me to call. And I did. Thank you for helping those who manage our food supply, for spending so many hours over time distributing food and getting it to those who need it. We ask that you give them extra energy and reward and blessing for their service. We thank you for our medical caregivers, and we ask that you protect them and care for them as they care for us. We thank you for all of those who are working diligently to make this passage in time as natural and as positive as it can be. That we know it is our love that will carry us through. And I ask that you be with all of those on our prayer list, all of those persons to whom specific prayers and blessings were asked. They're in need, whether it's grief or physical pain or loneliness. Be with them and touch them. Let them know that we all care. And of course, your love is the purest of all. We thank you for it. And we ask to walk by your side as we walk through this situation into a bright new and better world. Amen. Blessing givers, let us begin. Amen. Your prayer has been given. Your blessing has been given. God be with you and bless you. Now go and rest for at least 7 minutes and finish receiving the blessing that's been given. Bye-bye for now. And I look forward to being with you again next week or on our prayer calls during the week, which might benefit you a lot. So bye-bye for now.